Jesus had come to a crisis in his life. In 2 days, he's going to be crucified. The 14th chapter of Mark, he's just 48 hours away from being crucified. The dark shadows of death have fell across his path. There seemed no way now to avert the tragedy. And the scene there in the 14th chapter of Mark opens at a gathering in a small town of Bethany outside Jerusalem. And here's the way it reads. And being in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, he said at me, there came a woman having an alabaster box, ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some who had indignation within themselves and said, why have this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with ye always. And when ye will, you may do them good. But me you have not always. She has done what she could. She's come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done will be spoken of for a memorial of her. Now, the 12 apostles were all present at the feast, as was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And despite the fact that Jesus told them that he was to be crucified, buried, and raised the third day, none of them seemed to take him seriously at all. None of them. Here he's 2 days away from that event. None of them seemed to be taking him seriously. Perhaps they didn't believe such a thing possible, that he would ever allow it to reach that point. Somehow they thought he'll stop this before it ever gets there. They did not understand that only through his death could men be reconciled to God. And so I suspect that they thought he'll never allow the thing to get that far. But the moments were moving by. Calvary was coming closer. And only Mary, among that crowd, seemed to recognize the awful significance of the occasion, this woman here. Now, only she seemed to realize that a crisis was developing. And whatever should be done to meet the crisis must be done at once. I think in her mind she saw Jesus being taken down from the cross and carried to the tomb before sundown. She saw the military forces and the religious, coupled with the ignorance of the people, moving to destroy this one who had made so many promises, talking about Jesus, without which could never be fulfilled. Justifiably, she could have said to herself, what can I do? I'm nothing but a poor woman. I have no power, no influence. I cannot control these forces. I'm a victim of circumstances. It's been easy for her to say that. And everybody in the house would agree with her. There's nothing you can do. Isn't that right? That's where we are. There's nothing I can do. This is where we sit as things develop and happen and the world's lost. She could have easily said that. If I could, I would prevent this tragedy. She could have said, there's nothing I can do. But being a woman of faith, of spiritual discernment, she contemplated the growing crises and her own helplessness. She suddenly remembered the costly ointment that she'd been saving for that rainy day. All that she's got in life, this is a sum and total of her life savings. Her guarantee against old age, this is it. Ignoring her own interest, she went home and got that alabaster box, rushed back and broke the ointment and poured it upon the head of Jesus. Poured it upon. Immediately she encountered a storm of criticism. The apostles began to murmur. Why all this waste? You know what Webster says? Waste is giving too much for too little. Why all this waste? Can you really give too much for Jesus? You know, waste means that you give too much for too little. I've been guilty in the world. But never, they're saying, you give too much for too little, pouring that oil on his head. Even the apostles are murmuring against her. They resented this action of love, this vision of faith, in a striking contrast to their obvious unbelief and criticism. Well, in the ordinary course of life, I believe there are opportunities all around us to do good. I believe it comes to every one of us, folks, if we took advantage of them. But there's some occasion that call for immediate and decisive action. Occasions that were not in our yesterdays and will not wait for our tomorrows. You believe that? There's opportunities that cross my path and your path that wasn't with us yesterday, and they will not be with us tomorrow. They'll not be a part of it. But today they rise up and challenge our faith. Mary recognized it always be the poor to whom she could minister. But this occasion would never present itself again. Here God was moving to save a world. Here was an opportunity to do something for Christ in His call, beyond the call of duty. Jesus said this about her. She has done what she could. Oh, God, when I come to die, let that be said to me. How many of us, if He were to check you out of here this morning, if your card was suddenly pulled and He said, Art Williams, you'll stand before me now, or Clendenin, or Farmer, it's time for you to appear at the judgment. Would it be said of you or me or you, He has done what He could? I'm awfully afraid that's in the way it'd be. I'm awfully afraid. She has done what she could. No, she couldn't do everything, but she could do something. I can't do everything, folks, but I can do something. You can't do everything, but you can do something. That's where she was. She had something that could be used in this crisis without debating the matter. She gave everything she had to meet that need. I don't think sometimes in reading these stories we really realize what they're saying. Jesus said, she has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Now there were other women who were followers of Jesus in the same crowd. They witnessed the crucifixion. They witnessed the burial. The scripture has this to say. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid, and the return, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices they had prepared and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. Luke 23, verses 55, and Luke 24, verse 3. Now, these women never thought of anointing His body until He was dead, until the occasion had got beyond their reach. They never thought. You know, we've been on television all over this country, and we struggled, and we talked to the people about helping us, and they, you know, they just believe somebody else did. Then one Sunday it didn't come on, and we've received 150 letters. Where did you go? Where did you go? Here, these women, they never give it one thought of anointing His body until it had got beyond their reach. He was buried when night was falling. This prevented them from anointing His body then. Then it was a Sabbath, and they were prevented again. And not until the morning of the first day of the next were they able. Then it was too late. He's already rose. They're too late. He's already gone. God had outrun their lagging feet. How many times has that happened to us? How many times has that happened to you and I? God outruns our lagging feet. Destiny had overtaken their visionless lives. Despite their good intention and earnest desires, they had waited too long. But Mary had seen the crisis coming and knew she must do something. Day by day, she had saved that precious ointment, not realizing the important part of her saving, the important part her savings would play, and one of the greatest dramas of all time, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not realizing. Oh, what a truth there is for the people of this hour. There's a crisis in this world. You hear me? There's a crisis in this world. And this crisis has to do not only with the world, but with the body of Christ, the church. What do we have that we can use in this time of crisis? Or shall we procrastinate? Shall we wait until deity takes the matter in his own hand? Will we wait until deity takes the matter in its own hands and changes circumstances until that which we will have will be of no use to Christ at all? No use at all. You know, once the raptures took place, all that money won't do a thing. All that we have, all our talk, all of our failures, all that we intended will be totally useless. We just wait until destiny moves us beyond. Instead of anointing the living, all in God's world we can do is embalm the dead. What a tragedy. This is where we live today. I often think of these women as they came to that tomb the resurrection morning. You know, I've read this story many a time. And I've often thought of these very women. Very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre bearing spices and ointments for the embalming of a body. But there was no body to embalm. There they stood with emblems of unbelief in their hands. Emblems of unbelief in their hands. You know there's going to be a lot of folks miss the rapture. And they're going to be saying, oh God, I'd give anything, I'd do anything. Just give me another chance. I'd just do anything, or I'd give anything. There's nothing I wouldn't do. You can have all my money, all my time. But like these women, they stand there with hands full of ointments and spices to embalm a body, but there is no body. All of it mocks them. Emblems of unbelief. When that opportunity was theirs, they never took advantage of it. And it slipped by. Frightened.